Today's daf is Chulin daf Nunvav, and we are at the Mishnah, three lines from the top of daf Nunvav Amid Aleph. Zok the Mishnah. Ve'elu treifos ba'oif. So the first Mishnah in the Perek Elu treifos, discusses Elu treifos bibehema. Yudches treifos, avois of treifos, toldois of treifos. This Mishnah is discussing not the treifos bebehema, but rather the treifos ba'if. Stating that, Rashi points out right in the beginning, based on a Lashon HaGemara later in the daf, and that is that all the treifos that are mentioned by behema are also treifos ba'if. So really, the Mishnah that says elu treifos ba'if is merely going to add additional treifos to the treifos we're already aware of. But just like Nikra Krum HaMayach, or Nekuvas HaVeshet, etc., are treifos when it comes to a behema, they're going to be treifos when it comes to an oif as well. So it says the Mishnah, Elu Treifos Ba'if, Nekuvas HaVeshet, Upsukas HaGargeres. If there's a nekev in the esophagus, even a mashu, that makes the oif a treifa. If the gargeres, the kona, the trachea is severed, a nekev is not enough, it too would make the animal a treifa. Incidentally, Rashi asks the obvious question, that if all the treifas be behema, a treifa is ba'if, and the Mishnah, as we're going to see, is not going to list all the treifas that we had already on Daphman Bezam and Aleph. So why does the Mishnah have to chazer nekuvas HaVeshet or psukas HaGargeres? I know that from the Mishnah on Daphman Bez. So Manav Shach, if we're going to repeat all the treifas bebehema by the oif, because they are treifas by oif, then repeat all of them. And if not, why are we repeating nekuvas HaVeshet or psukas HaGargeres? So Rashi says a very gishmak pshat. He says that there would have been a havamino, that the only time a nekev in the gargeres does not make a treifa, meaning you need psukas hagargeres, that's a behema. A behema, in order for it to be a proper shechita, you need shechitas beisimonim, the veshet and the kana. In other words, if the kana itself had a shechita, that would not be considered a proper shechita. Because the chiyus of a behema is totally more in the veshet than in the kana, but the point is that if something happens to the kana in and of itself, it does not constitute a shechita as it relates to behema. So you would have thought that it's for that reason that a nekev in the kana doesn't make the animal a treifa. But an oif, where all you need is shechita, simen echad, and we paskin other, either a shechita in the veshet or in the kana, even though it was machlekes in the Gemara. But the halacha is either in the veshet or in the kana. So you would have thought that by an oif, where if all you need to do is shech the kana, so you see that the life of the oif is taller in the kana. So maybe a nekev in the kana, that should constitute a treif as well. That's the chiddush. Nekuvas HaVeshet of psukas HaGargeres. Hiks a chulda al roisha. If a chulda, a weasel, bit the oif on its head, makam choisa is a treifa, in an area that it would make him a treifa. Rashi says that means it was keneged the krum shomayach. It was near the brain, a puncture in the membrane that encases the brain. We know that from the Mishnah and Daphim Beis, makes an animal a treifa. It would make an oif a treifa as well. If a chulda bit the oif in the area of its head, keneged the mayach, that would make it a treifa. And as we're going to see, that line in the Mishnah will be the primary topic of today's daf in the Gemara. Nikava korkavin, if the korkavin, that's the gizzard, that's part of the digestive system of the oif, if it had a nekev, it too would make it a treifa. Nikva dakin, if the intestines were punctured, it's a treifa. Nafla, or if an oif fell into fire, if an echrub nemeyeh, and the me'ayim, the intestines of the animal were singed, and they changed colors. Im yuroikim, if they became green, psulim, they're going to be puzzled. Im madumin, if they were red, ksher, we'll see more in the Gemara what that means. Darsa, if somebody trampled on a knife, vitarfa, because if somebody threw an oif against the wall, oishritz the behema, or one oif was fighting with this oif, knocked it down, umifarcheses, and it's clinging on for dear life, v'shasam yeis leis, if it lives for 24 hours, v'shacht, and then yeshech the ksher, it's going to be kosher. Otherwise, if it doesn't live for 24 hours, it's considered a treifa, or for the 24-hour period, until we know for sure whether it lived or didn't live, it's going to be considered a treifa. And this, of course, parallels the halacha in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph of Naflam in Agag. There was an idea that a behema falls from a gag, then you have to wait a 24-hour period to see what's going to happen to this animal, to decide whether it's going to be kosher or not. So in a similar vein, if an oif was trampled on, it was thrown against the wall, or two oifis were fighting and something happened to this oif now, so there's this 24-hour waiting period where we're going to have to see whether this animal is going to live. If it survives, we know it's kosher. If not, then obviously it was a treifa. But the point is, during this waiting period, for 24 hours, we have to treat it like a treifa. We'll speak out more about that a little bit later. Either way, so the Mishnah had said, Elu treifas ba'if. So the Kuvas HaVeshet, we know what that is. Psukas HaGargeres, we know what that is. We even know now why the Mishnah had a Chazir over by Yoif, even though we already know by Behemoth is a special Chiddush, that Psukas HaGargeres, yeah, a Nekev in the Gargeres, no, even by Yoif. Even though if you shecht the Gargeres by Yoif, it would constitute Shechita, but as it relates to Trefas, a Nekev in the Gargeres would not make the animal a Trefa. You would need that it should be Psukas HaGargeres. You need that it should be severed. The third Trefa that the Mishnah mentioned by a knife is Hiksa Chulda al Rosha. If a weasel bit or hit the oif by its head, what area of the head, Mokam Sha'osa Osa Trefa, in the area where it would make it a Trefa, meaning Kinega the Krum Shal Mayach, the halacha is we look at it as a Trefa. Stating that, a very big Machlekes Amira, Rav, Vishmuel, the Levi, the Amri, that when the Mishnah says, Hiksa Chulda al Rosha, Mokam Sha'osa Osa Trefa is considered a Trefa, it's not an automatic Trefa. What it is a Sophic Trefa. You have to be concerned that maybe something happened. What might have happened? Nikra Krum Shal Mayach. It could be that there's a tear, there's a nekev in the Krum Shal Mayach, and that's something that we need to be concerned about. So what do? We inspect it. Machnas Yodri Lefnim. So there's a way to determine whether or not the membrane surrounding the brain was actually punctured. You stick your hand inside the mouth of the oif, and you hit up on the palate. Ubaidik. In the vatsveis, if something starts squirting out from the animal, it means that what's squirting out is some of its brain. How's it squirting out? Because there's a puncture in the membrane. And if that's the case, trefa, it's a trefa. Then lav, if nothing comes out, shera, it's kosher. It means that there's no hole. Says the Gemara, honey, chalamandama, this all makes sense. According to mandama that holds, and the man can karmer tarto. Elo the mandama inkav yila, afagatol inkav tarto. Nechesh dom yila, inkav tarto lo inkav. We had a machloikis when we say that if there was a nekiv in the krum shel mayach, it makes an animal a trefa. And the same is true for a knife, because whatever's a trefa for an animal is true for a knife. The halachas parallel each other. That the shmachshayla was, it doesn't mean that only the outer membrane needs to be punctured, or does the inner membrane have to be punctured as well? So as we've seen, that there's layers of quote-unquote membrane that surround the vital organs of the body. As it relates to the brain, the Gemara talked about an outer membrane and an inner membrane. Now, the nekev obviously came from the outside. The question is, does it have to puncture through the inner membrane as well? Or does it not have to puncture through the inner membrane? Says the Gemara, if that's a shayla by the hema, presumably it's a shayla by a knife as well. So says the Gemara, if you hold that you need both membranes to be punctured in order for it to be a trefa, so this is a good experiment. Let's see if anything squirts out. If nothing squirts out, it means both membranes were not punctured, thus this animal's not going to be a trefa. This oif won't be a trefa. But if you don't need both membranes to be punctured, and if the outer one is punctured, that's enough to make it a trefa, why is the fact that nothing squirting out a raya that this animal's not a trefa? Maybe nothing squirting out is because only one of the membranes were punctured, not the other. Thus, there's a blockage. There's something inhibiting the mayach from being mevatzveis. But why is that a siman that the animal's not a trefa? So, hanicha, that's all good. Lamandom adaminkav karmatato. They need even the lower membrane to be punctured. So, it's very good that this is a good way to experiment. Elamandom inkavilo afagatolo inkivtato. But according to mandom, that says that if the outer membrane was punctured, even if the lower one wasn't, it's still a trefa. Nechesh domilo inkivtato lo inkav. Maybe the outer one was, the inner one wasn't. So, the Gemara says, Isid. If the outer one was punctured, tata, the lower one would give as well. Because agav rukhe mifka paka. Because being that we're dealing with an oif, and the membrane, the organs of the oif are very, very shvach, so there's no question that if you push its palate and one of its membranes were punctured, the skull was obviously punctured, how else did the weasel get into the krum of the mayach? That would be enough to make everything fall apart. Thus, it would be a good siman. Amar Ze'iri. Ze'iri said, Ein bediko l'cholda. I disagree with Rav and Shmuel and Levi. Rav and Shmuel and Levi said that when the Mishnah said, Hiksa chulda al roisha, Mokam sha'osa osa trefa, it's a trefa, it doesn't mean it's a vadai trefa. What it means is we have to experiment. We have to do a bedika. What's the bedika? Explain what the bedika is. Ziri argues. The Iri said there's no bedika. There's nothing you can do. In other words, when the Mishnah says, Hiksa chulda al roisha, Mokam sha'osa osa trefa, what does it mean? Not it's a sophic trefa, but it's a vadai trefa. It would be a sophic if there was a way to do a bedika to determine whether or not it's in fact a trefa. But if there's no way to do a bedika, then by definition, you have to treat it like a trefa. And the reason is, he said, because the teeth of the chulda that bite the mayach are very, very thin. Break the Gemara. Why is that a svara? V'chishiner dakis mahavi. How big do you need the nekif in the krum shel mayach to be in order for the oif to be a treifa? A mashu. So why is the fact that a shiner dakis initial? I'm Rav Oishin. What he meant was like this. V'neshe shiner dakis va'akumois. They're number one, very, very small. They're also a little crooked. And because they're crooked, we're worried that it's going to make a hole in the outer. It may even make a hole in the inner, but the holes are not aligned. I mean that they're not aligned, you could push up against the palate of the oif from today till tomorrow, nothing's going to squirt out. So the fact that nothing's squirting out is not a raya, that it's not a treifa, and it's for that reason, ein bedika l'chol. Meaning the bedika's not good enough. Like Narda, when Ziri came to Narda, sholach lahu, he sent a telegram, and he said, Varm shemati lefneichem toysen biyadi. You know, people used to say in my name, I had this shita that ein bedika l'chulda, mipnei sheshineo dakos v'akumos. I'm retracting. I take it back. Brom kach amru mishmeder Rav Shimon ben Lakish. I heard the name Reish Lakish. Boitkin lecholda. You couldn't do bedika with lecholda. And how do you do bedika? Biad with your hand, as the Gemara explained earlier. Rav, Shmuel, Velevi. They all said machnas yodeg lefnimu boidek. So we can add Reish Lakish to that list as well. That you do a bedika, even though the Mishnah says treifa doesn't mean betoras vaday. What it means is there is a makoim to do a bedika to determine for sure whether or not it's a treifa. And again, how do you do the bedika? You do the bedika. Dafka with the yad. Avol, how do you not do the dika? You can't do it with a needle or with a nail. So apparently there was another way to do this. And that is to take a nail and to push it around the surface of the krum shel mayach. And we're going to see if it goes around smooth, then obviously that means that it's, that there's nothing there. If there's a little nick, if something gets nicked, that's a raya that there must be some hole. And if there's a hole, that's going to be a way to know that there's a trace. So in other words, we have another way to test. The way we discussed doing the bedika was machnas yaday. Put your hand on the palate of the oif, see if any brain squirts out of the oif. Okay, that was one way to do it. But apparently there was another way to do it. The other way to do it was using this masmer. Reish Lakish said, boike. Which is why Ziri was Chayzer. He said, Rav said it, Shmuel said it, Levi said it, Reish Lakish said it. I'm out. I'm being Chayzer. But at the same time, he said, the only way to be Baidik is Biyad. You cannot be Baidik with Masr. You can be Baidik even using this nail. Oh, by the way, it's Machloikis Tanam. So this Machloikis Amiram, the Tanam already discussed. Chal Baidik Biyad, Chal Baidik B'Masr. Rav Yudram Nechem, you both had different minhagim. So if you came to bring the Mashaila with a knife, we're Hikso Chulda. So they paskin, you could do a bedika, which seems to be the psak of the Amiran, but they had a machloikis from a custom standpoint, how they would do it. One did it with that, yeah, like the Gemara discussed. The other did it with the machat, like the Gemara discussed. Man, the badik biyado, amalei the man the badik machat. The one that did it with his yad told the one who did it with his machat, that must have mechal b'mayim shal Yisrael. You know, I don't like what you're doing because you're causing a lot of hefset. Why? Very simple, because it's not advisable. It's, quote, don't try this at home, to take a machat and start scraping it around the mayach of an animal, because what's going to happen? Even if there was no hole, you may create a hole. So he said, it's a very good way to be a baidik. You're right. If you could take this nail or needle and you can move it around the mayach of a oif and nothing gets in the way, it's smooth, that's a raya that there's no nekev in the krum. But at the same time, it could be, it will in and of itself create a nekev. So he said, it's a bad idea. This yid, this Araman is coming to you with a chicken. He has a shayla, right? What would somebody do today? Throw the chicken out. Obviously, it's an Araman. He's coming with a chicken. And Imam doesn't know what to do. I could eat it. I can't eat it. And you're going to take now a machat or a masmer. You're going to start putting it in the life, the halachic life of this animal at risk. That's not a nice thing to do. So the other Tana said, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's not kishmak that there's a good chance this comes at risk. But what's the other side? The other side is, be baidik with your hand? I don't trust being baidik with your hand. And the reason is because maybe when you're baidik with your hand, nothing is going to squirt out. And the reason is, like Ziri said, because the teeth of the chulda are crooked. So it could be the two holes in the two krums of the mayach are not aligned with each other. So the fact that nothing is coming out is not going to be a raya. Says the Gemara, 1 second, nevelo is vashchuti. No one said anything about nevelos. You say, all right, I'm asking. Ela trefes. Why? Because shema nikev krum shel mayach. Either way, says the Gemara. We'll see what in this time I am Rabbi Yehuda, the Badik Biyada. So we hand here over to Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Nechemiah. Chad Badik Biyada, Bechad Badik Machta. No, this Machloikis, Rabbi Yechem Rish Lakish, we said is Beplukta. It's really Machloikis Tanam as well. But it sounds like we don't know who said what. We don't know if Rabbi Yehuda was the one that was Badik Machta, and Rabbi Nechemiah reverse, or vice versa. So the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. The Stayim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Badik Biyada. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that was Badik Biyada. Time to interpret. I'm sure Allah says, I remember Rabbi Yehuda. Baitkin Lechuda Biyad. Avaloi Ben Masmer. So it's Mefurish. The Rabbi Yehuda continued, and he said, Nishbaro etzem, if the skull of the animal broke, afal pi shelo nikev krum shel mayach, even if there was no nekev in the krum shel mayach at all, that too would make the animal a treifa. That will be the topic of the next part of the daf. But for now, says the Gemara, testayim, checkmate, this is a raya mefureshes, the Rabbi Yehuda is the one that was baidik b'chulda, which means then the Rabbi Nechemya is the one that was baidik b'machat, he was the one that was baidik b'masmah. But what was the last line Rabbi Yehuda said? Rabbi Shimon Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, baidkin l'chulda b'yad avaloi b'masmah. That was the topic of the first part of the Gemara. Then he said, nishbara etzem, if the skull of the oif breaks, afal pishaloi nikev krum shomayach. Even if there's no neck in the krum shomayach, still the animal's going to be a treifa. This is already chiddush. Now you're telling me that you don't need any nekev in the krum shomayach in order for it to be a treifa? Meaning, as long as there's a nekev in the skull, that's enough to make the yoif a treifa. How does that shit with the whole sugya that we just learned? Let's see it inside. Hagufa kasha. I'm with baikin l'chul d'biyad. Avalei b'masmer. Alma, you see from here, isle b'dikusa. There's a concept of doing a b'dika. What's the bedikah? The bedikah is the chulda bit the head of the oif. We know for sure that it went through the skull. The question is there a nekev in the membrane that encases the brain or not? So skull, inside the skull is the brain. The brain is encased by this krum. So we have a shaila now, is there a nekev in the krum shomayach or not? If there is, then it's a treifa. If there isn't, then it's not a treifa. But if we're danning whether or not there's a nekev in the krum shel mayach, we're discussing using yad, using a masmer, a machat. What does that mean? That means there was obviously a nekev in the skull. And that doesn't seem to bother me. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say in the end of the braisa, nishbar ha'etzem afal pishalei nikev krum shel mayach? It says everything we just said. V'hadu tani nishbar ha'etzem afal pishalei nikev krum shel mayach amal nesla b'dikusa. So the Gemara says you have to say, sefer, that last line, asam lo'if shel mayim. It's discussing a different type of oif. It's discussing an oif that lives in the water. It doesn't have a krum. And being that there's no krum shomayach, it's for that reason a nekev in the skull would in and of itself make it a treif. Faith the Gemara, ain't like krum, solkadaitach, can't be it doesn't have a krum. Hello, hoyel the krum rach, being that its krum is very rach, once there's a nekev in the skull, in the etzem, that's a raya that is presumably a nekev in the krum as well. Either way, it's true that a nekev in the skull could make the animal a treifa. It's true that a nekev in the skull does not make the animal a treifa unless there's also a nekev in the krum shomayach. How's that possible? The two things blatantly contradict each other. Two different types of oifas. There's an oif that lives on dry land. There's an oif that lives in the mayim. The oif that lives on dry land, a nekev in the skull does not make it a treifa. You would need the nekev to puncture through the mayach. Thus, hiksu chulda al roisha ulda meiron, Rav and Shmuel and Levi and Zeiri and Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya Tanam as well. They all discuss how you're supposed to do the bedikah to make sure that this puncture didn't just puncture the skull, but it actually went through the krum shomayach. At the same time, there's an idea of an oif that lives in the mayim, being that its krum shomayach is very, very soft. So once there's a hole in the skull, that's enough to know that there must be a hole in the krum shomayach as well, and that would be enough to make it into a treif. Amrei Rav Nachman. The Rav Anon, Rav Nachman told Rav Anon, Mar Omar, I've heard from you, Rav Anon, that Shmuel Badik B'yodah Machsh, that Shmuel used to do a bedika. Hiksa Chulda Roisha, so he would do a bedika with his yad. Right? We had in the beginning of the Amid, Rav is Shmuel V'Levi. Shmuel used to do that. V'Huna Chavr Noma, Huna said it, in other words, Rav Huna to us, that Rav Badik B'yodah Machsh, that Rav used to do the same thing. It's Kasha, was Rav Nachman, but Honey Levi, Trevish, Manu Chacham, and Behema, Kinect the Mike, all the Trevish that we have by Behema, we have by the Yod. Yes, Ralim, Oiv, but this one that the oif has that the behemoth doesn't have, and that is nishbar ha'etzem afal pishal nikrav krum shel mayach, that by an adam nishbar ha'etzem doesn't make it a treifer, or by behemoth nishbar ha'mayach nishbar ha'etzem doesn't make it a treifer. You need that it should be nikrav krum shel mayach, but when it comes to an oif, the halach is nishbar ha'etzem afal pishal nikrav krum shel mayach. So what are we doing bedikas for? We know for sure that it was nishbar ha'etzem. So he told him what we just said, ahuba if shel mayim. That's disgusting. An oif shel mayim ha'ilah ein like krum, because it doesn't have a krum. Ein like krum, so what, the brain is just floating in the skull? There must be a krum. of a krum erach, being that the krum is very rach, like we said before. Gemara says the same thing in a different context. He tarnu gulta davoy be Rav Chana. Rav Chana's house had a tarnu gulta. Shadu l'chami de Rav Masna. They said that to Rav Masna, they weren't sure if it was a treifa or not. He looked at it and he said like this, nishbara etzem v'loy nikev krum shalmeach. It's true, it was a good shayla because there's a hole in the skull of the saif. But I did a bedika. I see it didn't puncture the krum shalmeach. V'achshua, he said it's kosher. Amalei, so they told him. V'atani levi, treves shemaru chacham bebehemer can act the wife. All the treves bebehemer yeah, but yet yes, v'aleim oif nishbar etzem afu bishon dikur krum shalmeach. So what do you mean? I thought nishbar etzem my oif is enough. Amalei, so what did he tell him? Also leim shalmeach. No, that's discussing an oif shalmeach. Hoy ve'in loikrum, ein loikrum sogat aydach. How's it possible that an oif, even an oif shalmeach, shouldn't have a krum? Elei ma'hoyel v'krum meirach, being that its krum is very soft, it's going to be different. Rav Shizvi says the Gemara that when they brought him a oif that was hiksa chulda. The Al Roisha, Makam Shaisa Isa Trefa, so he would do the Badika a little bit differently. Till now, we had two ways that the Badika was done, Biyad or Bimachat. Rav Shizbi was Badik Bashimsha. He would take the Krum Shalmayach, I guess after the Shechita, take it out of the animal, out of the oif, and he would put it next to the sun, and he would inspect it that way. Rav Yemar, Badik Bimayat. Rav Yemar would be Badik it using water. He'd pour water into it and see if something fell out. If something poured out, obviously there's a hole. Rav Acher by Yaakov, Bada Begila de Chitza. He had another way of doing it, using a strand of chitin. Amar Rav Shizbi said, another halacha related to everything we just discussed, Hani Avzi Didan, geese. Ka'if shalmayim damyin, they're treated like oif shalmayim. Nafla l'or. The Mishnah said that if an oif falls into fire, v'nechmeru b'nei me'ya, and it got burned, im yurikin, if the color changed, they're green now, psulin, they're going to be pasul. Im adumim, if they're red, ksherim, they're going to be kasha. Om Rab Yoichan, Mishnah Rab Yosef ben Yeshua. Shri yuru kasan, kishinu kuvasan. So we say that if it turns green, after it fell into fire, it becomes a treifa, how much of it has to turn green? A little green, a lot green, like what's the shear? So Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Yeshua that it's Keshenu Kuvas, Manu Kuvasa Mamashu, Afyu Rukasa Mamashu. And it's Mavur in the Gemara and the Rishayin, that what it means is that any aver of the oif, where if there would be a nekev, it would be a treifa, the reya, the veshet. So the halacha would be that if that turned green, even if it's only a mashu, it would be a treif as well. Because nekev has always been mashu. So too, when there was no nekev, it just turned green because it fell into fire, came in contact with fire. You would need only a mashu of it to have turned green in order to. So whatever is the sheyiru kasan is kishenu kuvasan. But if the sheyiru kuvasan is not a mashu, then the sheyiru kasan won't keep kamashu either. Boy, menei Rav Yosef, braid Rav Shulman Levi, Rav Shulman Levi, hayrika kaved keneged me'ayimau. What happens if the liver became green? What's the halacha? So says the Gemara, Amalei treifa. He told him it's a treifa. But in light of what we just said, why should it be a treifa? V'lo yehei ela nitla. If shiyuru kasan is keshenu kuvasan, so really, when an animal becomes green, you have to look at the Shulchan Aruch. What happens if there's a nekev, and then just apply it now, then what happens with the liver? The liver could be removed, and it's still going to be kosher. So how could you tell me that if it became green, it's going to be Amarava, Kivin Sharika, Kovic, Kaneb, Nemeyayim, Yadush, Nafla, Nechrim, Nemeyayim, Vitarfa. Now, the reason it's going to be a treifa is not because the liver itself became green. We don't care about the liver so much. What we care about is certainly not if it became just Bemashu, because the animal can live, for the most part, without most of its liver. We're worried is that if the liver became green, then probably the Nemeyayim became green as well, because of the fact that they're situated in such close proximity to each other. So even though we don't see the Bnei Me'ayim as green, but there's a chash that it is. And with the Bnei Me'ayim, even a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim would make it a treifa. Thus, a little bit of green would also make it into a treifa. So the issue, Rabbi Shua ben Levi's chiddush of the oif being a treifa, where a little bit of the liver became green, is not because of the liver. But it's because if the liver is green, then that should be a sign that the Bnei Me'ayim are green as well. The Bnei Me'ayim, a nekev of a mashu who makes it a treifa. Shir yiru kasan es kashin ukuvasa. The point is, it's not the kovet, but it's what the kovet seems to be telling us about the Bnei Me'ayim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, havali ahi tarnagoylis. Rabbi Shua ben Levi had a tarnagoylis. Shadru l'kami de Rabbi Elazar kaper beribi. He sent it to Rabbi Elazar kaper beribi. Amalei. And he told him, yiroikin hava. To me, this tarnagoylis looks green. So the rest of the story obviously is that this Tarnagoyles came in contact with fire, and Reb Shua ben Levi sent it to Reb Elazar Kapa Baribi to ask him if the animal's a treifa. So he looked at it, he said it's green, v'achshara, and it means it's kosher. Back to Gemara, v'anan t'nan yirukim soya. The Mishnah says just the opposite. The Mishnah says that if it turns green, it's possible. He says, oh, it's green, it's kosher. Mamish Vakari from the Mishnah. Amru. So he told him back, it's true the Mishnah says that if it turns green, it's possible. But the Mishnah wasn't referring to every single part of the earth. It was referring to specifically the kurkavan, the gizzard, the lave, the heart, the kovet, and the liver. But as it relates to any other part, there this halacha is not going to be true. And the reason it's true for those three body parts, because they are naturally red, Rashi says, shedarkon liois adumin, Rashi. So being that they're usually red, now that they turn green, that's a sign of a treifa. Tanya nami hochi, be'elu b'nei me'ayin amru, the following of the b'nei me'ayin, Chazal said that if they turn green, it's going to be a treifa. Bekurkavon b'levu v'kovei. So Rabbi Elazar Kapa Baribi's psak was in line with this braisa, that even though the Mishnah says green is a problem, but green is only a problem with those three. Ordinarily, green is actually a good thing. And that's what he told Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He said, oh, it's green, it's kosher. Because it wasn't in the lave, the kurkavan, or the kovet. That's why the fact that it was green was okay. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, a similar story. How about the Ahu Tarnagolta? He also had a Tarnagolas. That also came in contact with fire. And he also sent it to a Rav for a Shiloh. Shadr l'kamei de Rabbavo. V'amalei, he told him, Adum min avi, betrayf. He said, oh, it's red? Perfect, it's treif. Fake the Gemara. It's also fake from our Mishnah. Adumim ksherim. The Mishnah says if it's red, it's going to be kosher. Amalei say he told him, no. Adumim shohiriku. V'yiroikim sheidimu treifa. When the Mishnah says green is a simen of treifa and red is a simen kosher, that means that if it was red and it turned green, now that it's green, it's a simen of treifa. Or if it was green and it turned red, that's not a simen of treifa. Amalei amra adumim ksherim. Elo belei v'kurkavon u'bekaved. But the reason he paskin Rav Avo in this case that red was a problem is because this was a part of the body that's supposed to be green. It's supposed to be green and it turned red, that's when it's going to be an issue. So it's really not green or red. There's no magic to the color green versus the color red as it relates to Hilchas Treifas. But rather, the point is, the nekuda of the Mishnah is that if an oif comes in contact with fire, we have to start examining the internal organs. If they changed colors, they went from a more greenish color to a reddish color, or from a more reddish color to a greenish color, that's going to be a problem. If they did not change colors, then it's going to be okay. Amarav Shmu Barchia, Amarav Mani. Adumim shohiriku v'sholku v'chazru v'hedimu. What happens if there was a part of the oif that's usually red, came in contact with fire, it turned green. Then they cooked it, and lo and behold, it was red again. So the halacha is ksheira. What do you mean? It had been green. So why don't we say that being that it was green for a short period of time, that makes it a treifa? My time kutra ayilbo. Because what we're allowed to assume is that even though it came in contact with fire, it wasn't a simen of treifa that caused it to change color, but rather because it was also in contact with smoke, the smoke was what changed its color. And therefore, when you cooked it, it came off right. The point is, if the color goes back to its original look, as soon as you cook it, that's a sign that the discoloration was not a simen treifa, but it was more a sign of the fact that it was in the presence of smoke. As a result, it's not a simen. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Afanan Noimar. L'chura, we could take this principle, we can apply it a little bit further. Adumim shelo heiriku. What happens if there's a part of the oif that's usually red, it came in contact with fire, nothing happened, it didn't change colors. So far, so good. Fishoku, then they cooked it, vahiriku, and it changed colors. Treifa, I think it should be treif now. Why? My time, igloi basayu, because it just showed its true colors. Pun intended. Because l'chayra, what it showed is that really, when it came in contact with fire, it had changed colors. The only reason it didn't look like it changed colors is because the smoke. So the fire did two things. Number one, it changed its color, which is a simen treifa. But then the smoke made it look like it didn't change its color, because the smoke has the ability to camouflage the color. The haraya, now that you cooked it, the color is going to be different. So he said, your idea of cooking the oif after it came in contact with fire to see what its true color is, you said it in the context of a kula. But says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, af anan noimar, we could say it in the context of a chumra as well. Amar Rav Ashi said, if this is the case, I don't think you can ever eat any oif that comes in contact with fire. You have to cook it first, because you never know what the real color is. You're going to look at it, it looks like it's the same color. No, maybe really the color changed, but the smoke did two things. It changed its color,
and then it made it look like it didn't change its color. Point is, you should always have to cook it to see what's going on. But the Gemara says, it's not the halacha. You're not mechuyev to assume that something happened. So if the oif comes in contact, and this is very important, you saw it in all halacha, that if an oif comes in contact with fire and nothing seems to have happened, you don't have to start cooking it, you don't have to start doing bedikas, because as far as I know, nothing happened. It's only when it looks like something may have happened, that's when you have to start being concerned. What happened? So if there was a change in color, okay, so now we're ready. You cook it, but the point is that if, as far as we know, nothing happened, you don't have to assume that maybe two things happened, and that's why it looks like nothing happened. No, Chesuki Reisa, Loi Mechaskin, Darsa V'Tarfa, because the Mishnah said that if an oif was trampled on, it was thrown against the wall, there were two oifis that were fighting, so the halacha is this 24-hour waiting period that we have to wait around. For 24 hours, it's a problem. After 24 hours, we see what happens. I'm Rabbi Elazar, I think this is Shmuel Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yani, Achazu V'Achazu V'Tzuki V'Dika. Even if it ends up living 24 hours, you're still going to have to do a B'dika, meaning after we shech the animal, you have to kill it right away, but after you shech this oif, then you're going to have to do a bedikah similar to the halachas that we saw last week when we went through the gemaras of Nafla Min Hagag exhale. So before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. And this is really an important chloe, this type of ha'ara as it relates to the sugis of Treifas. But let's just segue it from the last gemara that we just learned. So the last Treifa mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah that discusses not the Eilu Treifas Bebehema, not the Eilu Ksheiras Bebehema, but rather the Eilu Treifas Baif, said that Dorsa V'Tarfa B'Koysel Oshiritzisa Behema. So an oif took a little bit of a beating. Somebody stamped on it, somebody threw it against the wall, there were two oifas that were fighting, and it's mefarcheses, something clearly happened to it. So the halacha is for 24 hours, we have to treat this as a treifa. You have to wait 24 hours, it's only after the 24 hours that it's going to be okay. The Gemara said that even though you're allowed to eat after 24 hours, but you still have to do some sort of bedikah. Ordinarily, we're not chayish that something might have happened. In this case, we have to be concerned. Now, what are we concerned about? So, l'chura, we're concerned about the same thing that the Mishnah was concerned about on Nachman Beis Amud Aleph when it discussed the Eilu Treifas Bebehema, and the Mishnah mentioned Nafla Min Hagag. What was the halach of Nafla Min Hagag? We saw a whole black Gemara where the Gemara discussed. We're worried about Risukei Varim. We're worried that maybe some of the vertebrae slipped out of place, something that would make the animal a treifa. So if it lives for 24 hours, that's a sign that there was no risukei varim, then you have nothing to worry about. If it didn't live for 24 hours, so there's this chiddush of the ace la'ace of a 24-hour period during which time we have to treat it as a treifa. And this is a very big chiddush, because ordinarily when you talk about treifa and time, so you're thinking in terms of Yud Beis Chayidesh. We pass in treifa in a chaya, which means that it can't live for Yud Beis Chayidesh. This is a different time frame that's used in the context of Eilu Treifas. It's a time frame of 24 hours, which essentially is the maximum amount of time that an animal can have this treifa of Nafla Min Hagag with a behema, or Darsa V'Tarfa B'Koysel Eshiritz Behema with regards to a knife. Because once it lives for 24 hours, then it's not a treifa anymore. And if it doesn't live for 24 hours, it's anyways an avela. So really, it's only negeya, this treifa, for a me'es la'es period. It's a treifa for a 24-hour period. Rashi in the Mishnah, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, when Rashi discusses the halacha of Nafla Min Hagag, said something very interesting. Rashi, Nafla Min Hagag, v'shachta miyad treifa. Afal pi she'en shevin nirup. Even though right now you don't see that anything happened to the behema. Choshishin, we're concerned, she'nisrasku v'nisparku evareh. We're concerned that if you do a proper internal examination, you would see that something's off. It's up to Hilgi Rashi. There ain't time to treifas. I want you to know that there's no svara to treifas. It's all halacha l'maish misinai. And that's why, don't ask any kashas when it comes to this halacha of Nafla Min Hagag, what does it mean, 24 hours? No, ain't time to treifas. There's nothing you have to worry about. And all the achrenim are bothered that why did Rashi, right here, with regards to the treifa of Nafla Min Hagag, decide to tell us, ain't time to treifas. Shalach l'maish misinai. Now, whatever exactly that means, it sounds like Rashi should have said it right in the beginning. Elu treifas. So Rashi should shtel avek, a shir kloli, a psicha, an intro to Perek Elu treifas, and he should tell us, ain't time to treifas. Shalach l'maish misinai. No, we went through Nekuvah Saveshet, Rashi didn't say anything. Psukas Hagar Geres, Nikiv Krum Shalmayach, Nikiv Alev L'Beis Chalaloi, Nishpura Hashedra, Nifsak Achut Shalot, Nitalakovin, etc., etc., etc. We come to Nafla Min Hagag.
Comes again, Rashi, and Rashi says, I want you to know, ain't time the dreifus. You know why? Shalach l'mosh mesinayim.
There was obviously something bothering Rashi as it relates to this particular treifa that Rashi felt that right here, I need to tell you in order for you to understand Nachlam and Agag, and something shouldn't really, really bother you. You have to understand this yisoid. And that is that ain't time to treif this because they're all halacha l'mosh mesinayim. So the Lev Aryeh, in his pirush right here in Masechtas Kulin, classic work on Masechtas Kulin, he asks this kasha. The yesh l'daktik. The lama kasev Rashi is al-daf gehocha, hachta halacha l'mosh mesinayim. The Lev b'shar treif is ninishnu mikoydim v'achakach. The yesh l'yashav apimash en istapakti v'ach treif is the nefula. As it relates to the treif of nefula, shu machmas, what's the yisoid of the treif of nefula? Shechoshishin sheminis rasku evarav. We're concerned that maybe something happened. So he says, I always had a suffix. How do you understand this treifa of Nachum and Agag? Imu treifa vada'is, or you rak treifa misafik. During that 24-hour period, which is the period where an animal has the treifa of Nachum and Agag. Once 24 hours pass, it can't have this. It's a 24-hour treifa. During those 24 hours, is this animal a vada'i treifa? Or is it a Safik treifa? Tremendous nafgaminas lahalach. The Rambam Shita is that Safik deraisa, you only go to Chumra, midrabanan. If there's another Safik, you could start clearing Sfek, Svekas. So the nafgaminas are endless. And the Levari wanted to know, is it a Vadai treifa during those 24 hours? Or is it a Safik treifa? On the one hand, it would make a lot of sense that it should only be a Safik treifa. Because we're not sure what happened. Shema nisrasku evarav. What's the Lashon HaGemara? Chayshish in Shema nisrasku evarav. So if the whole thing is a chashash, it certainly sounds like it's a Safik treifa. But then again, the Mishnah says, Elu treifas bebehema. And the Mishnah mentions it, as it says, the Levari, the Shub Matzasi achakach, the Baal Prima Godim, Shenestapik Bozeh. The Hevi B'Shem Elavush, the Sphere Le David treifa Vadoi Dei Reisa. Ayin Shom. Ula Nias Taiti Nira Lahavi Rai Lazeh. Midachashiv Hav Treifas Din Afula B'Teich Shai Treifas Din Mas Nisan. Being that it's mentioned in our Mishnah, the Kulam Havi Treifa Vadai. So it sounds like it's a Treifa Vadai. Ukahai Gavna Kosa B'Plesi. The Plesi has a different kasha. Why did the Mishnah not mention that if the animal lost its upper jaw, that should be a reason that it should be a Treifa? Zok the Plesi, Mishun Vloi Choshiv Rak Treifas Vadai, Vloi Treifas Sofik. Ayin Shom. Vim Kein, Al Karchach, the Treifas Nafula Havi Treifa Vadai. Ella, but says Lev Aryeh, although the Prima Godim says it, and the crazier place he says it, and I happen to think that way as well, Zok the Lev Aryeh, it's very mashman that way, because the Mishnah is discussing Treifas Vadai, not Treifas Sofik, and Nafum and Agag is mentioned in the Treifas Vadai, but if you think about it in Svara, Eina Svara Mechayeviske, the Loma Yeh Treifas Vadai, Hobe Emesu Rak Sofik, Vichshash Shema Nisrasku Evarov. It's a chshash. Maybe something happened. Maybe something didn't happen. There's a very good chance that nothing happened. If nothing happened, there's a perfectly healthy, we're going to find out in 24 hours. It's not such a long waiting period. We're going to soon see there's a good chance nothing happened. Even during the 24 hours, if it gets up, if it wants to get up, if it thought about getting up, remember the Gemara? So that would already be enough for it not to be a treifa. Okay, there's a chash, but also maybe nothing. So why would that be a reason for us to look at it as a vadai treifa? Zok de levari, ulezeh tikein Rashi kam. That's why Rashi felt, I have to tell you, you saw it. In order for you to understand Nafleman Agag, not the concept of Nafleman Agag, but why Nafleman Agag, which is really predicated on a chashash that something might have happened, is treated like a treifa vadai. Kapi hod chash b'masis and treifas dinafulu mash b'davi treifa vadai. L'umazek kasev Rashi. That's why Rashi said the ain't time b'treifas. Sha'aloch l'moishu misinayim. Dahainu. Sha'aloch l'moishu misinayim hoya kach. Sha'machmas chash derisa kevorim. Yeh nafulu treifa vadai. U'be'emes ain't time b'dover. Kach nir olim. Half of a fellow. So says Lev Aryeh, you want to know why Rashi spoke it out over here? Because Rashi was not just merely coming to explain the concept of treifas. Treifas Allah Almighty should be seen that. The Gemara is going to talk about that. But Rashi was coming to explain was something specific about Nafleman and Agag. That Nafleman and Agag isn't just treated as a Safik treif. It's treated as a Vadai treif. In Svara, it doesn't make sense. So Rashi, if treifas was Svaras, you'd right. You'd be right. It wouldn't make any sense. But treifas are not Svaras. Treifas Allah Almighty should be seen that. You mean that it's Halacha l'mayshem yisinai, it's not a kasha. The emphasis is that this is a very important Rashi. And this Rashi is really the basis to the Rambam and the end of Perek Yod Hilcha Shechita that we've spoken out many times throughout Perek Elu Treifas. And that is the Rambam says that the chol elu shemanu v'amru shehen treifa, all the treifas that are mentioned in the Mishnah, afal pi sheyirim bidarkei refuah shabiyodeinu, even though we know today, based on modern medicine, shemiktsasen enim emisin,
that some of them don't die, the efshe shetichy mehem, and some of them may live. What do you mean? The treifas ain't chayu this chaydish. So shouldn't that be makrish? And shouldn't that force us to rewrite the Mishnah of Berakei L'treif? Should have a new list based on modern medicine. Says the Rambam Chas v'Shalom. Ein locha elu mashem aru chachavim. All we have is what the chachavim guided us with. Shenemer al pi ha-toyra asher yerucha. And really, if you think about it, at first glance, it's Sarach Bir. What's the pshat of that? I mean, at the end of the day, there's a svara behind Treifa. It doesn't sound like it's from the Chukei HaTorah. Maybe it's from the Chukei HaTorah in terms of why there's a halacha of Treifa. But at the end of the day, we know what Treifa is. A Treifa is a defect that an animal has that's going to cause it not to be allowed to live Yud Beis Chayidish. I mean, you saw it from all the Gemaras. We also saw in the Gemara Daf Nun Dalam and Aleph that to the extent that there's a refuah for this treifa, that is in and of itself a reason for it not to be a treifa. So if in later years, refuahs were developed, that should be up. The teretz is this Rashi. The teretz is ve'ein tam betreifas. Shalach l'mashem esinayim. Does it make sense why a nuflim and a gag should be treated as a vaday treifa? No, it doesn't even make sense. The teretz is it's shalach l'mashem esinayim. Ve'ein tam b'davar. And it's for that reason, even though now it was already neschadish refuahs, for a lot of the treifas, that should not impact anything, because at the end of the day, what matters is what the halacha l'moshe m'sinai was. And the halacha l'moshe m'sinai was, is elu treifas, and being that that's the case, it doesn't matter what would change at a later date, the halacha would always be that way. But I'll tell you something very interesting. There's another Rambam. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Reitzeach v'Shmiras HaNefesh. It's Perek Beis Halacha Ches. And that Rambam's discussing Hilchas Treifas, but not Treifas be'behema, rather Treifas be'adam. So the laws of Treifas govern behemas, obviously. Perek Eilu Treifas is a Masech Tzchula. But there are also halachas scattered in Shas that deal with an adam that's a Treifa. For example, if somebody kills a Treifa, a Hoyri gets a Treifa, the halachas is potem midinei adam. The reason is because this person didn't have the ability to live. The Rambam in Hilchas Reitzeach, Perek Beis Alchez brings us halacha. He says as follows: Ahoyrig is a treifa. Afal pisho oichel v'shoisa u'mahalich b'shok. I raise a potem b'dinei yadam. If somebody calls a treifa, he's potem b'dinei yadam. V'chol adam b'cheska shalim. Every person is b'cheska shalim. V'ahorgoy, if somebody kills him, nerak. Ad she'yivada b'vadai she's a treifa. Unless we know for sure that this person's a treifa. And the Rambam continues: how do you know for sure that somebody's a treifa? V'yoyimra roifin. You're going to have to consult with doctors, and the doctors are going to say shemakuzu ein loytal lebadam. That there's no refuah for what this person has. And this person's for sure going to die. So it says the Rambam, there's halacha here, it's a treifa's potter. So how do you know if somebody's a treifa? So the way you know if somebody's a treifa is, the person has to have a doctor's note. He literally would have to hear from a doctor that Rachmana Litzlan, this person is a treifa. Ein loy tala ba'adam. There's no refuah for the makkah that this person has. Only then will you know he's a treifa. The mechaschinuch mitzvah lam the dalid and the brisker rav and stencils. They both shtelzach on this Rambam. Has a shtum with the Rambam in Hilchas Shechita. This Rambam which underpins Gantz Perakei with treifas, and that is that there's simani treifa with the hema, and there could be refuahs from today till tomorrow. Nishtana mitzias ateva gufim the brius the refuahs. Everything could change. It doesn't impact anything. It's all halacha l'mayshim yisirei. There's halacha b'treifa. So there was treifas b'behema. It was treifas ba'adam. So l'chayr, you would think the same thing should be true when it comes to an adam as well. When it comes to somebody kills a person, if the person had a treifa, who cares that today there's a refuah? The Rambam says, what do? You ask a doctor. That's exactly what you're not supposed to do in Perakei L'treifas. Do not ask a doctor. Nobody cares what the doctor has to say. The doctor's going to tell you that Nafum and Agag is a vaday treifa. Of course not. He's not going to tell you that. The Terence says, we don't care. There's so many of these makas today that we have refuahs for. The whole shaila with the DA. I mean, today, there's no shaila, there's refuah for that nekev in the keva. That's not a problem. They stitch it up. These animals live for a long time. That's not the problem. The pro cares. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, a nekev in the keva is a problem. It in of itself is a reason that it should be a treva. Nobody said animals with circus can't live, but it doesn't matter. They can live. Who cares? It's irrelevant. A nekev in the reya makes an animal a treva. Here, the Rambam says, mamish faker. It's unbelievable. How could I? It's a pella. So after all, you know what you do? You ask a doctor. It's mamish faked from everything that we thought. It says that you see from here that that Rambam in Hilchas Shechita was only negei behemis. It wasn't true with regards to Adam. But the Briskerov said it very sharp. The Briskerov said it very briskish. Said the Briskerov that you see from here that it's cholik b'yisoid, treifas the behema, and treifas the Adam. How so? Treifas the behema is, like Rashi says, it's svara, it's all halacha l'moshe misinai. And the halacha l'moshe misinai is that if an animal has this simen, it's a treifa. If it doesn't have this simen, it's not a treifa. The reason these simonim are simonim treifa is because once upon a time, these simonim meant that the animal wasn't going to live Yud Beis Chaydash. And an animal that couldn't live Yud Beis Chaydash was deemed a treifa.
and as a result, it's off limits. But the point is, once it was a weggestellt, that these simanim make an animal a treifa, they become simanim treifa. So just like you have simanim, what makes an animal a kosher animal? Or versus a non-kosher animal. So it's malagera, it's mafresas parasa, it's a kosher animal. Otherwise, it's going to be a non-kosher animal. These are simanim of a kosher animal. They're simanei treifa. They're simanei treifa. And just like nothing can change that, nothing can change this. Now, grab that we have more information as to why the simanei treifa are simanei treifa than the simanim of what makes a kosher animal make an animal kosher. Why is an animal that's malagera kosher? Okay, maybe we'll see that in the sugyas that we're going to learn. But that seems to be a little bit more esoteric. Why are simanei treifa simanei treifa? Because it means the animal can't live yud beis chaydish, and we don't want you to shecht and eat an animal that can't live yud beis chaydish. But at the end of the day, the way the halacha that was nimsa, the Moshe Mesinai, was not that an animal that can't live yud beis chaydish is off limits. A behemoth misukenis can't live 5 minutes and it's a kosher animal. Bal nefesh shouldn't eat it, but it's considered a kosher animal, right? That's halacha Shulchan Aruch. The point is there's simanei treifa, that a treifa is possible. Just like a chazer you can't eat a treifa. What makes something a treifa? If it has simanei treifa. What are the simanei treifa? Yudches simanim, 70 simanim. But at the end of the day, these are merely simanei treifa that shtel that this animal is a treifa, and I don't care who, what, when, and where might have changed over the generations. At the end of the day, just like the halacha mafresas parsa and the halacha of malageir is not going to change, the halacha of simanei treifa is not either going to change, because that was the halacha that was said it over. The halacha wasn't so... It was underpinned by some level of Sarah. But the point is, the halacha, the way it was muscle, the Moshe Mesinai, was not in the realm of Svara, but it was in the realm of there's a halacha that a treifa is something that's also b'achila. When it comes to Adam, it was a whole different halacha. Nobody ever said that the simani treifa gets kapaskin as the mentions a treifa. Male, if somebody kills someone that has a simani treifa, even if he can live 120 years, still the halacha is he's going to be potter. There it's a different halacha. It's called treifa. It mirrors and it's similar to the laws of treifas the behema, but the yisoid is different. The yisoid is there you need that bepoil. This Adam shouldn't be able to live Yud Beis Chaydesh. It's a different rule. I mean that it's a different rule. You have to speak to the doctors. You have to find out, could this person live for Yud Beis Chaydesh, or could this person not live for Yud Beis Chaydesh? That's why it's true. The Rambam says in Perek Yud Hilchis Shchita that when it comes to a behema, we don't care if it's Nishtana Teva. We don't care if now we have refuahs, Baruch Hashem, to a lot of these machlas that Chazal didn't have refuahs for. But at the end of the day, the halacha l'moshe Mesinai was that if an animal has DC manim, it's a treifa. When it comes to Adam, that wasn't the halacha l'moshe Mesinai. There we need, the way the halacha was said over, is that a person that can't live Yud Beis Chaydesh, he's considered a treifa. So for that reason, if something caused the person not to be able to live Yud Beis Chaydesh 2,000 years ago, but today this person can live with this condition, he wouldn't be a treifa. So before we decide that someone's patur midinei adam for shvichas dam because he killed somebody, we have to consult the doctors, and we have to hear what the doctors have to say. But just one more ha'ara. A Dover Nifla that somebody told me on Sunday, he heard from Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, B'shem B'chazanish, but I found it in the Chazanish inside. It's in Hilchas Treifas, in Yeridea, it's Simen Hei. So, the halachas of Treifas, we said, are governed and determined, Treifas the Behema, not based on what's considered a treifa today, but what was considered a treifa b'mei Chazal? The Rambam already talks about it in Hilchas Shchita, and this is very important because most or many of the treifas of Chazal would not really be considered treifas b'zman hazeh. But it doesn't matter because then it was a treifa, so we don't really care that it's a treifa now. So we spoke out a briska mahalach from the briska Rav that the svara just was kaveya the simanei treifa. But at the end of the day, the halach of treifa is that an animal that has this simanim is a treifa. What dictated what the simanei treifa are? Whatever was considered a simen treifa back in the day. But at the end of the day, it's possible not because it can't live Yud Beis Chaydesh, it's possible because it has the simen treifa. But one unbelievable haistafa that the Chazanish said, and that is, he said that we know the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, it's also a Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin. You have to be the Chazanish to say this. Tonu Devei Eliyo, Sheishas Alofim Shana Havion. Everybody knows this Gemara. The world was created for 6,000 years. Shnei Alof in the first 2,000 years, Tayo. There was no Torah. Shnei Alofim, the next 2,000 years, there was Torah. Shnei Alofim, the last 2,000 years, Yemoisa Mashiach. Mashiach could have come already in the year 4,000, and unfortunately the Gemara says that Rabu Yatsumehen, you missed that already on a lot of these years, but your Maisa Mashiach is from the year 4000 till the year 6000. So the world was created for 6000 years. The first 2000 years, there was no Torah. What happened in the year 2000? From Avinu, Vanefesh Asha Asu Bechark, there was Torah for 2000 years. Adam Rishon, and you had Yeshiva of Shem Benoyach, but nobody was spreading Torah. And then Avram Avinu started spreading Torah, it was being Makara people. Vanefesh Asha Asu Bechark, and that's when the years of Torah began. And there was Torah from 2000 until 4000. After 4000 is already your Maisa Mashiach. Rashi says that really you could look at this Gemara and you can make a very terrible mistake. You could think that maybe after the year 4000 there's no Torah anymore, right? It sounds like there's three distinct tkufos of 2000 years. There's 2000 years of Torah b'lo Torah. Then you have the last 2000 years of Yemais HaMashiach. The middle 2000 years are years of Torah, right? The latter 2000 years or latter 4000 years were not Torah b'lo Torah. The first 4000 years were not Yemais HaMashiach. So you would think the first 2000, the last 2000 are also not years of Torah. So Rashi Chalila to make such a tois. Avada, even though from the Gemara it's a little mashman that way, but of course in the last 2,000 years is Torah. There was Torah from the year 2,000 to 4,000, and this Torah from the year 4,000, Torah b'lo Torah, that was unique to the first 2,000 years. Yemais HaMashiach was unique to the last 2,000 years, but as it relates to Torah, Torah began in the year 2,000, but it didn't end by the year 4,000. It extends itself until the year 6,000. But the Marshal is Chedushi HaGodes and Perek Chelik in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin, we've spoken this out many times, says not mashma that way from the Gemara. The Gemara is mashma that there's three unique periods of 2,000 years. There's 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. If that's the case, it's mashma then that in the latter 2,000 years, from the year 4,000 to 6,000, which is the tkufa that we're living in right now, there's no Torah. Wait, Marshall, what does that mean? There's no Torah. So he says, because the pasuk says in Eicha, Malka v'sareo bagoyim in Torah, that when the Beis HaMikdash was charev, not only did we lose the amud of avoida, we weren't able to bring karbonos anymore, v'hashiv es avoida l'dvir beisach of Yishei Yisrael, but we also lost that on the amud at Torah as well, because Malka v'sareo bagoyim in Torah. In Torah, to a degree that we look at this tkufa right now as if it's years below Torah. That means the Vilna Gaon said the same Yisoy. Vilna Gaon says it in his Pirush on Ovis. We say Yiratzayin Milfanecha Sheyibane Beis Hamikdash B'mheir B'yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'sar Esecha. It seems like we're connecting Binyan Beis Hamikdash with Torah. Sheyibane Beis Hamikdash B'mheir B'yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu. What does one have to do with the other? One is the Beis Hamikdash and the other one is Torah. Sheyibane Beis Hamikdash and we'll be able to bring V'sham Navadcha B'yira. That makes sense. We'll be able to bring Karbanos. What does Sheyibane Beis Hamikdash have to do V'sein Chalkeinu B'sar Esecha? The Vilna Gaon gezogt, V'al du Pasuk shteyt Malku V'sareya B'agoyim in Torah. That when the Beis Hamikdash was Chorev, we lost that on Torah. Being that we lost that on Torah, it's Sheyibane Beis Hamikdash. Then it's going to be again V'sein Chalkeinu B'sar Esecha. That's when we're going to get the Torah back. But the point is that there was a 2,000 year period where there was Torah, real Torah. After that, what we have now is a diluted version. We're living in a tkufa of Malka v'sareh b'agoyin in Torah. Hatachazinish gezak, that every single halacha of Torah, it's unbelievable, was decided during that 2,000 year period. So there was a 2,000 year period of Torah, and the halachas of Torah were hukva based on what existed during that period. Because what are you going to tell me? Now the Mitzvah has changed in the year 5,700 and whatever, so now that's going to be a reason that we should rewrite the laws of Treifus. We're living in a tkufa of Torah. Torah has to be determined during the 2,000 years of Torah. Unbelievable. So during the Alpayim Shana of Torah, we can decide Hilchas of Torah. So you want to decide Treifus? During those 2,000 years, we can sit down and we can decide all the halachas of Treifus. But what happens after the year 4,000, being that this is a tkufa of Malka v'sareh b'agoyim in Torah, it doesn't really matter what happened. And the emes is that the Chazon Ish says that it was clear in the Gemara that any machla for which there was a refuah would not be considered a treifa. So says the Chazon Ish, we know that Chizkiyo HaMelech had a sefer refuahs. I mean, there were refuahs in the world. There's refuahs for every machla. Eibishter wasn't megal them all to us. Bekarif, we should be zeichet to it, but unfortunately, we don't have it. But the point is, there were refuahs to all the machlas. So if that's the case, how do you understand it? What, you're going to tell me that all the treifas that were nimsa l'moish and misinai, there were no refuahs for? We know there were refuahs for. So he says, what matters is, what was nisgala during this period of the 2000? Regardless, I ain't sure, it's g'day to see it inside, it's in the Chazon Ish, and hey, again, somebody, you have to be the Chazon Ish to say, the cook of a gadol adar, of a gadol entire, it's unbelievable. He said that the halachas of treifas had to be decided during the 2,000 years of Torah. What happens today doesn't matter. Nishtan ateva, nishtava metzi, these are all nice svaris, and these are all things that there's raid on, and there's pilpul, and it doesn't just govern Hilchas Treifas, it governs so many different halachas. But at the end of the day, the Chazon Ish said that this is all after the year 4000. After the year 4000, these are years below Torah, because Malkus Rebbe Goyim ain't Torah, and as a result, it doesn't really matter what we find out. What would have mattered is what would have been determined Dafka during that period.